This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Your lipstick, your nail polish, your hair conditioner, your face cream. Most of us don't realize that the products we use every day can expose us to thousands of chemicals that are readily absorbed through our skin. And the question is this: what is the impact on your health? It's not pretty. Author Alexandra Spunt joins me live on the program. The website and the title of the book is No More Dirty Looks. NoMoreDirtyLooks.com is the website. Alexandra, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So let's talk first about, we're talking about chemicals that we can't pronounce the names of them, names mm-hmm. of fragrances that we've never heard of colors that have numbers instead of names. So tell us first, how dangerous is it? I mean, what's the extent of the danger here? And should we be truly concerned?
It's pretty hard to say exactly how dangerous this is, because what toxicologists who work for the industry will tell you is that, well, this is really small exposure. You know, there's really small amounts in most of these things. But when you get into hormone disruptors or neurotoxins like lead, and these are things that are found, you know, pretty pervasively in cosmetics, there is really no amount that's kind of too small. Some of these things stay in the body. Some of them build over time. And also, if you consider that the average woman uses something like 15 products a day, that's a lot of chemicals all at once. And because it's kind of really difficult to establish how these chemicals will affect people over the long term, because you can't really do that sort of research, it's kind of impossible to say. So me and my co-author use our why bother theory. Why bother if you can't know it's safe, and especially if it's not doing anything good for you?
We're talking with Alexandra Spunt. The book is No More Dirty Looks, nomoredirtylooks.com. Tell me about this industry, this beauty products industry. It's a big industry with a long history, and it also has a pretty, according to your book, a pretty massive lobbying effort going on in Washington.
Yeah, well, it's an extremely powerful industry. You know, I might add that it's also a recession-proof industry. So if anything right now, if you pick up a magazine, you're going to see so much of the advertising in that magazine comes from beauty companies. It's the same with television because, you know, they always say lipstick is recession-proof. People like to reward themselves with small pleasures. So they're doing very well right now. You know, they haven't lost money in the last few years as other sectors of the economy have. And, yeah, you know, like any powerful industry, they have lobbying power. And if regulation on cosmetics were to be stricter, it would cost them a ton of money to be required to reformulate cosmetics. So, you know, it makes sense that the industry doesn't want to do that.
Yeah. Now, I know it's very well documented, and we've done many interviews on this program looking at just this topic. It's well documented that the pharmaceutical industry has something of a revolving door when it comes to regulation with the FDA, for example, or the CDC. A lot of those folks with the government jobs who are supposed to regulate the industry end up with big, huge, well-paying jobs as executives in that industry. And this has been happening for quite a long time. And of course, the theory is that then as regulators, they tend to treat that industry with kid gloves in the hopes of getting scoring a big job one day. Do we see something like this going on with the cosmetics industry?
Yeah, we came across cases of that. We came across cases of someone who had a high position at the FDA in the very small, might I add, cosmetics department, and then ended up working for the PCPC. But, you know, add to that in cosmetics, unlike pharmaceuticals, unlike food, the industry is not even really that regulated to begin with. It's virtually unregulated or self-regulated because the FDA doesn't require any proof of safety from these companies before they release their products. The only thing that's required is ingredients on the label and intended ingredients, which leaves a nice loophole for things like contaminants and byproducts, which are some of the most dangerous things that we find in these cosmetics.
We're talking with Alexandra Spunt. The book is No More Dirty Looks. Alexandra, let's look at some of the examples that that y'all dug up in your research about what exactly is in these products. Give us an idea of some of the things you discovered that are in, you know, whatever, whether it's our skin or our hair, that, you know, if you go to any bathroom now in Charlottesville here, you'll find this stuff on the shelf.
Well, the thing that tipped off Siobhan and I was a salon treatment that we found out later was laced with formaldehyde, and a pretty significant amount of formaldehyde, you know, so that there were really harsh fumes, our eyes were watering, our throats were burning. And that's kind of what led us down the rabbit hole into researching different products. And, you know, formaldehyde is something you find in many products, but like I mentioned, lead in lipstick, you know. Considering that it's lead, we're talking like fairly meaningful amounts. Phthalates, which are a category right now that people are really concerned about. These are hormone disruptors that have been shown to affect genital development in baby boys. I mean, it's starting to feel kind of science fiction-y. All kinds of things. Something called 1,4-dioxane, which is a hidden contaminant that's a carcinogen that's found in baby products among, you know, products for adults as well. We have a list of about 20 that we, you know, consider red flags when you're reading your labels. And in the book, we try to help people figure out how to read these ingredients, because like you mentioned, it's all in the scientific naming. So, you know, lay men and women cannot figure out what this stuff is.
We're talking with Alexandra Spunt. The website is nomoredirtylooks.com. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. It's 16 minutes after 5 p.m. here in Charlottesville, 93 degrees. What did you learn about hair? I noticed in the book it says something about wash your hair backwards. Tell us some of the things you learned about shampoos and about hair.
Well, you know, we also wanted to make this book fun and light and, you know, show women and men too, for those of them who will read it, that there are great solutions out there and that there are sort of fun, natural tricks. And one of these tricks that we learned from Horst Reckelbacher, who is the guy who originally started Aveda and then later left Aveda and recently launched an amazing hairline. Anyways, he suggests washing your hair backwards. So starting with a treatment oil or a conditioner and then washing it after that. The idea being that it'll allow your hair and your scalp to absorb some of the good oils before you use the shampoo, which is slightly more stripping. So we recommend that you use shampoos that don't strip too much.
So wash your hair backward, not from your forehead to your back, but backwards in terms of the conditioner first and then the shampoo.
Conditioner first, yes.
So what about shampoo? Now, what is it about shampoo that should perhaps make us most alarmed?
Well, shampoo is an interesting one. I actually don't use it at all anymore. I haven't used it since, I think now, like December 2009. So shampoo, the way it's formulated now, is extremely stripping. So it takes out all of your natural oils. It makes sense that when you use shampoo, especially every day, you're going to need more conditioner. You're going to need more leave-in products. We kind of call this one of the tricks of the beauty industry. You know, they sort of create a problem so that they can then solve it with more products. And what we discovered as we started washing both less and with less harsh shampoos that don't use sodium lauryl sulfate is that our hair was much better and we didn't need to put so much product in it after. And SLS is one of those ingredients that, you know, is considered potentially harmful, might be contaminated with 1,4-dioxane, the carcinogen. So it's just something you want to avoid.
So you'd recommend maybe just using conditioner alone?
Well, I have really thick, curly, dry hair. So I already didn't wash my hair that often. It depends on your hair type. You know, Siobhan still washes regularly, but she uses a really gentle shampoo from John Masters, and she now doesn't need to put anything in her hair afterwards, and neither do I. I used to leave handfuls of conditioner and leave-ins in my hair because it was so dry, and it's much softer now because I'm not washing it. I do just comb conditioner through it, rinse it. I do some treatments sometimes, and that's it.
We're talking with Alexandra Spunt, live from Los Angeles, where she is a journalist and marketing consultant. Her new book is No More Dirty Looks, online at nomoredirtylooks.com. The truth about your beauty products and the ultimate guide to safe and clean cosmetics. Let me ask you, now we're in summertime. I just got back from the beach, and there was not a day that went by that I didn't smother my shoulders and my face and my arms and legs with a sunscreen, and my kids as well. What do we need to know about sunscreen?
Well, the sunscreen debate seems to just get more and more confusing every season, I find. So the Environmental Working Group every year will release a report. And this year, the report said that retinol palmitate, which is a type of vitamin A that's sometimes found in sunscreen, actually might increase the risk of skin cancer. So that was one thing that set off alarm bells. Other chemicals in sunscreens are also, you know, considered to be possibly dangerous. They're also polluting our oceans in unimaginable ways. There's 4,000 to 6,000 tons of this stuff ends up in our oceans, and it's destroying coral reef, which makes you wonder how good it can be for our bodies. Anyways, the best idea when it comes to sunscreen is if you can't be in the shade, if you can't wear protective clothing, use a sunscreen that has a physical blocker in it like zinc oxide or titanium dioxide. The Environmental Working Group has a list of some really good ones, the 38 ones that they recommend on their website. And that's kind of an easy way to know that you're getting a safe one, especially for kids.
It's the truth about your beauty products. The new book is No More Dirty Looks, nomoredirtylooks.com. We're talking with co-author Alexandra Spunt, and the phone lines are open for your questions at 977-1070. Alexandra, when I was coming in today, I told a friend that I was going to be talking about this book, and she said, ask her about expiration dates on cosmetics. How, you know, people keep lipstick, for example, in their drawer for years. Should we be throwing this kind of thing away?
Well, that's sort of a double-edged sword because there actually are no expiration dates, or they're certainly not required on makeup. Some of the more natural companies will give you expiration dates, which is great. So it was actually an industry toxicologist who got me thinking about this. He was like, think about it. People can use them forever, and that's why so many preservatives are required in these cosmetics because they have this eternal shelf life. So, yes, on one hand, we probably shouldn't be using them that long because the longer something with chemicals sits together, the more, you know, opportunities you have for chemicals to combine in different ways and create byproducts. And on top of that, if you're using, you know, cleaner cosmetics, what's wrong with not using something for 100 years? You know, I kind of think that I'd rather buy a product that's more natural that doesn't last as long. As long as I know I'm going to use it and I like the product and it won't go to waste.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. I have an 8-year-old daughter who has really become fascinated with painting her nails. Should she go to nail salons and have her nails painted? Is that okay?
I don't know what you guys have in your area, and granted, I'm in Los Angeles, so, you know, it might be a bit of a better selection, but there are starting to be cleaner nail salons that at least don't have the same fumes and the same fragrance in the air, and then there are nail polishes that have eliminated some of the worst ingredients from nail polish. Are they perfectly clean? It's pretty hard, I think, to create a perfectly clean nail polish that works. So definitely, if you were going to take your kid to the salon, I would seek out a salon that's really serious about being clean. And otherwise, I would try to encourage her not to.
Yeah. We're talking with Alexandra Spunt, co-author of No More Dirty Looks. Before we let you go, I mean, what's your advice then? What should women be doing when it comes to beauty products? Are there really clean products that you recommend?
Yeah, in the book we have a guide at the end of every section. We kind of take you through, you know, hair, face, makeup, body, nails, all of that. And we recommend products that we've tried, and we have some do-it-yourself options that are good. And it's actually a really fast-growing area of the market. And, you know, a lot of it is greenwashing, but there really are some companies who are doing amazing clean products. And once you find a few companies that you like, you can kind of sit back and relax a little bit. And I know it can feel really overwhelming at first when you get into it. So we kind of encourage people to, you know, take baby steps, get rid of the products you care less about at first, things where that you're more comfortable experimenting with. And then over time, you can slowly eliminate, you know, some of the more potentially dangerous cosmetics.
And stop using shampoo, huh?
Definitely stop using shampoo.
Alexandra,
or just use it less.
Yeah, not necessarily every single day.
Yeah, we're so obsessed with, you know, cleanliness. But like I said, we women, it's wild. We break our hair with these shampoos only to need more products. You'll save money if you cut back on some of that stuff, and you'll look better.
Alexandra Spunt, the new book is No More Dirty Looks, online at nomoredirtylooks.com. The truth about your beauty products. Alexandra, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.